Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 30. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus here. This is an epistle. It's a letter. It's a letter to the church at Ephesus, and they had been born again. The Bible says in Acts 19 that they were baptized. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were born again. And so this is written to the church at Ephesus. And Paul writes this, that you put off, everyone say put off, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, put off the old behaviors, the old way of life, that you put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed, everyone say renewed, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, everyone say put on, the new man. So we put off the old man, we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, now he gets specific, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So he's talking to the church, the body of Christ. We are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. So it's not a sin to be angry, but don't sin in being angry. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. I like that. Don't steal. Go to work and earn your own money. Buy it yourself. Funny that he had to say that to Christians. Working with his hands the thing which is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. And so Paul says, don't steal, go and work for your stuff, and go and work so that you can have good things and so that you can give to those that need. I thought I worked for myself, just my own provision. No, Paul says, yes, work to provide for yourself and work so that you can bless others that are in need. Then let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And here is this verse, and grieve not, everyone say grieve not, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to take my title from verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. Thank you for the new life that you have given us. We thank you, Lord God, that we stand in this place with testimonies of your delivering power, that you've set us free, that you've saved us. Once we were lost, but now we are found, and we thank you for that today. And as we turn our mind to your word right now, Lord God, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what it is that you want to speak to your church today. Turn me into a microphone from heaven, Lord. Let me not be any distraction from what you want to speak to the church today. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we are born again, the new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that regenerates us and renews us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are born again, we become new. Titus 3 verse 5 talks about the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. However, after we are born again, it's not the end, okay? That the new birth, just to be born again, is not the end. We must allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. Everyone say, led by the Spirit. So when you're born again, it's simply just the introduction. You are born again. into the family of God. You are a child of God. You are born again into a new family tree. The old is passed away. All things have become new. You are born again. But that's not the end. As wonderful as the new birth experience is, it is not the end of our Christian journey. It is just the beginning. Just the beginning. And so we must go on and be led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit, and this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he says, those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And so if we are part of the family of God, if we have been born again, it's one thing to be filled, but we must also be led by the Spirit. And so when you're born again, it is the beginning. Everyone say the beginning. We begin that process of spiritual maturity. And we are all in different levels of spiritual maturity. Some of us have been a Christian and serving God for just a very short time. Some of us have been living for God a long time, many, many years. And in that sense, God will hold us accountable in different ways. Because as a newborn babe, just as you start serving God, there's no way that you can know every commandment and everything that's in God's word. God's going to hold you accountable for what His Spirit leads you. As His Spirit speaks to you, as you come to church and God speaks to you through the preaching, or as you come to church and God speaks to you through a tongue and interpretation or the spiritual gifts, or as you're praying and God speaks to you, that's when God's going to hold you accountable for what He's showing you. And it's very similar to us as parents. We teach our children, and when we teach them, we expect them to know what we have taught them. And so we are at different levels of spiritual maturity. The Christian life is a ongoing walk. It's the Christian walk. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 talks about this maturity process. It writes here, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Everyone say, go on. Go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Go on. And so as Christians, we need to go on, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Okay? We grow when we are led by the Spirit. When we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives and we allow ourselves to grow that fruit of the Spirit, when the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow in our lives. You know, even as Spirit-filled believers, when we don't know how to pray, we can pray in the Spirit. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And so in our text today, we read in Ephesians, Paul reminds the church that he's simply saying this. He's saying, God is not finished with you yet. The fact that you've been born again does not signify the end. It is just the beginning. God is not finished with you yet. He reminds them. He says, you are imperfect. You haven't arrived. You've got to go on. You are imperfect human beings and you need to grow. There's some things you have to put away. There's some things that you have to put on. You're still going to have struggles in the flesh. You are imperfect. He says, I want to tell you, church at Rome, at Ephesus, that God is not finished with you yet. Everybody say, God's not finished with me. It's not. Paul even tells them, now that you've been born again, you've been born in to a new family. You are a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. And Paul even says this, that you should walk worthy. Start walking like you're a child of the King. Start living like you're a child of the King. Start speaking like you're a child of the King. Start behaving like you're a child of the King. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, you've got to walk worthy. Put off the old man and put on the new man. You're a child of God now. You've been born again. Everyone say, God's not finished yet. And so it matters how we walk. It matters how we live. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It's not on the screen, but if you're taking notes, you can write it down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, for as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In all manner of conversation, to be holy. And that word conversation, we just use that word to mean the words that we speak out of our mouth. But if you've got a different version of the Bible there today, you will see that a different word is used there for conversation. In the King James, it uses the word conversation, but in other versions, it uses the word conduct, manner of living, behavior. So we could translate that to say, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conduct, all manner of living, all manner of behavior. And some versions even say, be holy in all that you do. Be holy in all that you do. And so we must move on. Even though we have been born again, we have a new heart. Everyone say a new heart. How many people are thankful that God gives us new hearts when we're born again? Amen. Amen. He gives us new hearts. And Paul later on in Ephesians 6, just two chapters down the path of this epistle to Ephesus, he talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And so what Paul is saying, he's saying you have been given a new heart and you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect that new heart. And so what is that breastplate of righteousness? That breastplate of righteousness is righteous living. We live a holy life. We live a righteous life. We live according to God's word because we want to protect that new heart that God gave us. We want to protect it. We want to protect that new heart. And so we must learn that we must go on. Paul is telling the church, God is not finished with you yet. And so there is a putting off and there is a putting on. And I want to remind you today that repentance is not a one-time only thing. Repentance is something that we must continually practice in our lives because we can become so distracted by the world, so distracted by our flesh. And repentance is turning away from those things and turning back to God. Everybody say repentance. And so in the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they spoke with other tongues. And that is the Spirit of God inside of them. Everyone say inside. They were filled, the Holy Spirit inside. But in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit moved on people. We even read in Genesis where the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit strived with sinners. In Genesis, the Spirit of God, as I said, moved upon the face of the waters, but the Spirit of God also moved on judges, warriors, and prophets to empower them with extraordinary power. We think of Joshua, we think of Gideon, we think of Samson, and even Saul. But the story of Saul is that the Spirit departed Saul because of his disobedience. And so when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that New Testament experience that is for every single one of us, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in our life, a continual work in our life, if we will allow it. It's one thing to be Spirit-filled. It's another thing to be Spirit-led. And that's why Paul says to born-again believers, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives? It's going to be on the screen. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. John chapter 16 tells us of that. You know, when you do something wrong and the Holy Spirit convicts you of that sin that you've done? Yes. The Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. John 16 verse 13 tells us that. The Holy Spirit will lead us continually through Romans, Galatians, Matthew, Luke. We see that the Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit teaches us to pray. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. The Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says, the Holy Spirit will reveal the deep things of God. You see, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to read the Word of God, God begins to reveal things, even the deep things of the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in your life. The Holy Spirit transforms us. I thank God that I'm not just left to follow my flesh, but I can be led by the Spirit and be transformed into the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit, Acts 9, comforts us. The Holy Spirit gives us power over sin. And Paul is saying this in our text. He's saying, now that you are born again, now that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, God wants to do a work in your life. Now that you have been saved, God wants to do a work in your life. And he says, these are the things that God wants to work on. And then at the end he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve. What does grieve mean? To make sad. That's a simple explanation. Now, when we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, we also read in the Bible about quenching the Holy Spirit. But we also read in the Bible about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Everyone say blaspheme. Mark chapter 3 verse 19 deals with that. But you'll read a number of accounts in the Bible, where four of the Gospels deal with this, where Jesus says, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And I thought in preparing this message on grieving the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Because many people in my time have come thinking, they say, Pastor, I think that maybe one time I have blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They say, Pastor, I'm lost. I'm forever lost. I have committed the unpardonable sin. And the word blaspheme means to speak irreverently about God or to speak irreverently about sacred things or to ridicule the things of God. And this is what Jesus says in Mark chapter 3 and verse 29. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, in other words, it hath never forgiveness or will never be forgiven, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Another version says it like this: whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Now, when you read scriptures, it's always good to read them in context, all right? Always good. And so what was happening here is that in the context of this scripture where Jesus says, don't blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, what is happening is that Jesus is casting out demons and the Pharisees could not deny what they're seeing. Jesus is casting demons out of people. And what did those Pharisees do? They said, this is a work of Satan. It's a work of the devil. They said Jesus is being empowered by the devil. They couldn't deny what they were seeing, but they said, no, Jesus is being empowered by the devil. And that is blasphemy. Everyone say blasphemy. Now, it's not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you would just accidentally or unknowingly do. Okay? Jesus is saying, when somebody calls the good work of the Holy Spirit of God, when somebody calls the work of the Holy Spirit a work of the devil, that is blasphemy. And that is the unpardonable sin. Now, I know there's some questions in people's minds. Well, hang on. Is there an unforgivable sin? Is there an unpardonable sin? Well, I can think of two. Let me start with this one. Unforgiveness is the unforgivable sin. If you've got unforgiveness in your life, then you are unforgivable. And if you cannot have your sins forgiven, you will go to hell. Correct? Okay? So does that mean that if I've got unforgiveness that I'm never going to be saved? No, you can forgive and then God can forgive you. But in your state of unforgiveness, you are unforgivable. In your state of unforgiveness, you are unpardonable. And in your state of unforgiveness, because God cannot forgive your sin, and it's so simple to be forgiven, all we have to do is ask God to forgive us. But if you're not going to do that, then you're unforgivable and you receive that eternal damnation. But what about this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? You see, this is why Jesus said it is unpardonable or unforgivable. Why? Because when the work of the Holy Spirit is called a work of the devil, you're never going to receive it. So today, if God speaks to you about something in your life, and God is speaking to you about something that you're doing in your life, and the Holy Spirit begins to move on you and convict your heart and speak to you, and you say, it's the devil, then you're not going to accept it. And so if you're not going to accept it, then you're not going to change and you're not going to obey and you're not going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so because you resist and because you rebel, even saying it's the devil, not God, then you are unpardonable because you will never receive it. Are you understanding what I'm saying today? And so when that person doesn't acknowledge that God is speaking to them, When they say it's not a work of God, but it's a work of the devil, when God is trying to speak and they say it's not God, it's the devil, then that person, God cannot save them. And in that sense, it is not a condemnation, but Jesus is saying it's a warning. Because if you're going to have that attitude and you're going to rebel and even call the work of my spirit a work of the devil, then you can't be reached. You can't be saved. But we do know that even some of the Pharisees were later there on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and they were the ones that crucified Jesus. We know that some of them were in the 3,000 that were saved. And so God can forgive, but you need to listen and you need to receive what God is speaking to you through His Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit and say, it's not God, it's the devil. And so some people have said, Pastor, I have committed the unforgivable sin. Well, sometimes they say, have I? Well, I say, no. Well, they say, how do you know I haven't committed the unforgivable sin? Well, the proof is in the fact that you want to be right with God. The fact that you've come to the pastor, you've come to somebody and saying, have I committed the unpardonable sin? The mere fact that you're asking and you want to be right with God tells me that you haven't, because God is speaking and you want to be right with God. There is hope for you, just as there was hope for the Pharisees, just as there was hope for the same people that killed Jesus. We need to make sure that we listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so there is always forgiveness with God, but not if you grieve the Holy Spirit. Not if you resist to the point of saying that the work of God is the work of the devil. And so, what about grieving the Holy Spirit? I believe that the first step, or the steps to blaspheming the Holy Spirit, is to first grieve the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." We know the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "I will come to you." "The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And so the work of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin, to show us what is righteous and all those sort of things. So when the Holy Spirit is reproving you of sin and you say, "No, that's the devil speaking to me," you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you and speaks to you about sin in your life and you rebel and say, "No, God, I am not going to do it. I'm not listening. I'm not ready for that." You grieve the Holy Spirit. And so I want to make sure that we understand today that there is no place for grieving the Holy Spirit. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, let the Spirit of God lead you. Let it guide you. Let it convict to you. Let it speak to you. First of all, the first point, listen to what the Spirit of God says. Listen. Everyone say, listen. We've been talking about hearing the voice of God in church, in our midweek services, our midweek Bible studies, our small groups. We got to listen to the voice of God. We cannot overcome sin in our life without the Holy Spirit. We cannot be reproved of sin without the Holy Spirit. And so when we disobey, when God speaks and we disobey and we don't listen, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, then listen and say, "Here I am, Lord, speak to me. And Lord, if you speak to me, I'm going to apply it to my life. God, here I am. I want to hear your voice." And so how does God speak to us? He will speak to us through his word, through the preaching of the word, through our daily devotions, all of those things. He will speak to us through his word. He will speak to us through the preaching. He will speak to us through the operation of the spiritual gifts. He will speak to us through a check. Everyone say a check. A check in our spirit. We're about to do something and we feel that check. No, that's not right. And you'll learn to hear the voice of God. He will speak to us through visions and dreams. You see, the Holy Spirit is in our life to reveal things unto you. It's not just to sit there. The Holy Spirit is there to reveal and to lead and to guide and illuminate and instruct and help us and comfort us. So listen. Listen when the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit brings new life. How many people are thankful for new life? John 3 verse 6 and 7 says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." And so it is the spirit that gives us life. The flesh profits nothing. The spirit gives life. John 6 verse 63 says, Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And so here it is, the Holy Spirit. It's going to bring back our dead spirit. It's going to bring it back to life because the Holy Spirit brings life. When you are born again, you are born to live a holy life. And so when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives you life. You've been given the Holy Spirit to live a holy life, to live for God, to live according to His word, to follow His ways, to serve Him. That's why you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when you go back to your dead life, when you go back to those old things, when you go back to those old ways, when you no longer want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and you say, "You know what? I'm just going to do whatever I feel. I'm going to do whatever my flesh tells me to do. I'm going to do whatever I'm feeling like at the time." You are grieving the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said, put off concerning the former behavior, the old man. When you put the old man back on again, you grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gave you new life. That's why Paul said, and be renewed. There's that constant renewing. If Paul's saying we can be renewed, that's an ongoing thing, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. And so the first point, listen. Everyone say listen. Everyone say walk in newness of life. And number three, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we follow our flesh and not the Spirit. That's why we be led by the Spirit and not our flesh. You see, before we were saved, we just did whatever our flesh told us to do. And that's why we got in so much trouble. That's why we found ourselves so far away from what God wanted for our life. Before we were saved, we were controlled by our flesh, by our mind, our carnal mind. But when we are saved, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit begins to control us. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 9, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here it is. Look at this. For to be carnally minded is death. Come on, everybody say. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What do you want? You want death or you want life and peace? Okay, if you want life and peace, then be spiritually minded, be led by the Spirit. But if you want death, then be led by the carnal mind, your flesh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. Yes, he's talking to the church at Rome. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so Paul is saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And this is a reality for us today. We've got to be careful that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Because when we come to church and God begins to speak about something specific in our life and we say, no, I'm not. No, I can't. No, I'm not ready. No, that's impossible. I refuse. When we go back to our old life and put on the old things in our old life, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Even David said in his prayer of repentance, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. If you could turn there, it'll be on the screen. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, look at this. It's going to be on the screen. Have you got it up there? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Everybody say strive. For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And so there are three things implied in this verse. One simple verse, three implications. First of all, God's Spirit does sometimes strive with man. How many people are thankful that God strived with you? He kept coming. He didn't stop. He kept persisting. He kept speaking. He kept striving. And you know, every time you thought you blocked God out, he came again. He spoke again. He moved again. While you were lost, he strived. And so this scripture tells us that God does strive with man. But it also tells us that men can resist God's Spirit. And so what happens after that? That God's Spirit, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So if his spirit's not going to strive with us, then what's going to happen? He's eventually going to withdraw because of resistance. And so God will speak, God will move, God will confirm. He will speak to you through so many different ways. But if you resist and resist and resist, God says, my spirit's not always just going to keep striving. And I've seen that before. I've been in church where I know God has spoken to somebody for a decade about something, but they refused and rebelled, and God just stopped striving with them. He withdrew. You see, what is striving? Reasoning, convicting. How many times you come to church and God convicts you of something, but you put it aside? Or convincing or persuading. God even pleads, but he says, I'm not always going to strive with man. And so what happens when God speaks and we keep resisting? What happens? Just like momentum. When you've got momentum, if you just put some resistance on momentum, it will eventually stop. Constant resistance to the moving and the speaking of the Spirit of God. Constant resistance will stop the Spirit. Why does God stop striving? Well, he only does it when people reach the place where, you know, striving with them any longer will do them no good. You see, the consequences of that, when God stops striving because of our resistance, the consequences are eternal. The Bible says that we can begin to have a hard heart. We can have a seared conscience. That means that our conscience used to tell us it was bad. Now our conscience doesn't tell us anything. And we could do the wrong thing and feel totally fine about it now. The consequences are eternal. And some may think, well, God, you're just unfair. But I tell you, God is God. And he can do what he wants. He can act as he wishes. And let me tell you, it's only by his mercy that he strives with us at all. It's only by his mercy that he strives with us at all. So what happens when God stops striving? Here are some scriptures. Look at this. What happens when God stops striving? Number one, he repents of all the good that he did for such a rebellious person. Jeremiah 18, verse 8 and 10 says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, if they turn, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. But verse 10 says, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good. God's going to say, I'm sorry I did anything good for them, wherewith I said I would not benefit them. And so he repents of all the good. He said, I was so good, but they were so rebellious. Psalm chapter 81 says that God gives the person over to the power of their sin. He lets them go into the power of their sin. Which he didn't do before. He was striving with them before. But when he stopped striving, he gave them over. Psalm 81 verse 11 to 13 says, but my people who would not hearken to my voice in Israel would none of me. They didn't want anything to do with me. So I gave them up to their own heart's lusts. I said, just do whatever you want. I'm going to stop striving. I'm trying to help you. I've done everything I can to stop you going down this course and you just keep rebelling. You don't listen. I'm just going to let you go. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened. God says, if they just listened. And Israel had walked in my ways. The third thing that happens when God stops striving is that he gives them their request. Because you know what? Their request is simply this. Leave me alone. Leave me alone, God. That's when you grieve the Holy Spirit. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to obey. I don't want to be changed. I'm happy the way I am. God, just leave me alone. And so you know what happens? God gives them their request and leaves them alone. But he adds something. He sends leanness into their soul. Psalm 106 verse 13 to 15. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. God will not always strive. Number four, he allows sin to harden that person's heart. Their heart becomes so hard that the things that would normally have drawn them to God, the things that would normally have drawn them to God. What are some of the things that draw us to God? Difficult circumstances, afflictions, sickness, trials and troubles, all those things that would normally draw them to God, now those things harden them. Their heart becomes hard. Before, if they got sick, they wanted to go to God. He drew them to God. But now, because of the rebellious for so long, those things, now I'm sick, their heart just gets harder. Or even in the altar call in the church when the preaching of the word happens, and once upon a time when the preaching of the word would happen, they would come and find a place at the altar, or go home and find a place in their prayer room and seek God. But now the things that would normally drive them and draw them to God, now it just makes them even angrier. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. God says, I just keep speaking, and you just keep revolting more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be restored, be destroyed, and without remedy. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15 to 16 says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God. When God was trying to speak, they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy, till there was no answer. And so today, Paul was talking in our text, Ephesians chapter 4. He's talking to the church that has been born again. They have been saved. They've been filled with the Spirit. And he's saying, you know what? God is not finished with you yet. God is still working. God is still wanting to work in your life. And God will speak to you through so many different ways. And when you begin to resist, and when you begin to rebel, when God saves you and renews you through his Holy Spirit, and you go back and start, once upon a time you put off the old man, but then you go back and you start putting on those old things. The Bible says you grieve the Holy Spirit. If the musicians could come. You see, when God relinquishes the contest, when he stops striving, we lose. But I thank God that in his mercy, he still strives with us. He still loves us. I tell you today, God loves us too much to leave us where we are. God loves us too much to leave us in our situation and in our sin. God loves us too much to leave us with that bad attitude. And God will speak. God will strive. He will try to persuade. He will come to you in dreams and visions. He will speak to you through the preaching. He will speak to you through the prayer times. He's striving with you today. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. As I conclude, if you could stand. You see, the Christian life is an ongoing process of being pruned. People may not know what the word prune means, but sometimes, for instance, we got some lovely rose bushes out the front of our house. And every year I've got to cut them. Got to cut them. It's not nice, but you got to cut them back so that they can be more fruitful. And sometimes God wants to prune us so we can be more fruitful. This year, my wife was hesitant to let me prune those roses because she didn't just want them pruned. She wanted them shaped. Shaped. And God wants to do the same with us. Sometimes he's going to prune off parts. And sometimes he wants to shape us. He works. His Spirit works to convict and to strive with us. You see, God wants us to become what he created us to be. He wants us to live that holy life. He wants us to grow into spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not with your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul said to the church in Galatia, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the fleshly affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Maybe today, it's been a little bit of a heavy message, but I'm your pastor. God's word is to reprove and rebuke and instruct in righteousness. When we come to church, I want God to do a work in my heart. And I believe there's somebody here today for a long time. You've been resisting something that God has been speaking to you time and time again. And just a little while ago when I was preaching, I talked about God speaking to you in visions, in dreams, through preaching, in prayer, and through the word. I said those things and you said, yes, God has spoken to me like that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. And I've been around long enough to see God speak and speak and speak. And for then God to withdraw and say, I'm not going to strive anymore. Let our hearts be soft. Let us be receptive. Let's pray. Can we lift our hands right now? We lift our hands as a sign of surrender. Lord Jesus, we stand here today thankful that you brought us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We stand here today knowing, oh God, that you are a living God. And you're a God who still speaks to your people. And Lord God, even today, as I've been preaching, God, you've been speaking to people's lives. Different needs, different circumstances. Lord God, you've been speaking to different parts of people's lives, about different things in people's lives. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit that moves on our hearts, that moves in this place, drawing us to you, God, helping us, oh God, strengthening us, empowering us, oh God, leading us and guiding us into all truth. We thank you for your sweet spirit. Lord God, where can I go? I don't want to be outside of your will. I don't want to grieve your spirit. Lord, I pray for that person today who has turned their back and started going back to the old ways and started putting on the old man, oh God. Lord, I pray, do a work in their life today. Let them hearken your spirit's voice. Oh God, let them hearken your instruction today. Help them to find a place of repentance today. That we would not grieve your spirit, Lord God.